ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been trying to summarize the Chandogya Upanishad. And in that connection, in our last class, we have been dealing with how Vedas were divided into two sections, Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. And Karma Kanda again is subdivided into two parts. One is external mere rituals, and later on when a person develops more and more Shraddha, faith, then he will be promoted to the encouraged to do mental rituals, which is called Upasana. So how long? That was the question thought answered by every saint, especially Sri Ramakrishna. All the external rituals should be performed until a person becomes 50 or a little bit older. When the children are well established or on their own feet, and now the parents need not worry about them anymore, that is the time when they should actually turn their attention to mental worship, called also Manasika Puja. And that is equivalent to, Manasika Puja is equivalent to Upasana. Of course, the way ancient rishis had done these Upasanas is practically impractical, because we do not even understand. But we can equate them with the modern puja, and we have various deities, avatars, saints, sages, even sacred scriptures can also be worshipped. That's why in the Visishtadvaita Sampradaya, all the avatars were subdivided into five different ways. I am not going to discuss about that, but even worshipping an image, that is called Archavatara. Then incarnations, another type, great saints and sages, another type. All these yield exactly the same result, provided we follow a particular pattern. That's very important. So how does an earnest spiritual seeker really attain to the highest goal, which Sri Ramakrishna unambiguously had put it, that the last word about the perfection of sadhana is advaita. In Bengali, he used to express it very beautifully. Advaita gnan anchale bende jai iccha tai koru. So, that is the goal, whether a person starts, and we all must start where we are, which is dvaita, slowly progress into visishtadvaita, and go beyond that, and become one with Brahman, and that is specially outlined in this, from the sixth chapter of this Chandogya Upanishad. So to understand how sadhana, spiritual practice, leads to knowledge of Brahman, we must study the life of a saint. Any saint, every saint has to pass through the same way. Like a scientific experiment, anybody who does this want a particular result must follow the same steps. So, when we observe, study the lives of saints, we see their life can be subdivided into three steps. The first step is called external rituals. And as they progress, then they elevate them to manasika puja. That is called upasanas. Mental rituals. Upasana is a same thing that we do outside. Now must be combined with meditation on the deities, elevated to the mental level. This is called manasika puja. This is the second step. And the third step, human beings can only take these two steps. Then they will be ready to receive the grace of God. And the third step is, God's grace alone can reveal Him, also called Brahmagnanam. Atman, Atmagnanam, Brahmagnanam, God realization, synonymous words, kingdom of heaven. The word kingdom of heaven should not be equated with our Hindu concept of going to Swargaloka, etc. To understand what we have just now stated, that every saint's life has to necessarily fall into three stages, three steps. Each step is a stage leading to the next higher step. So, first step is external rituals. Let us study the life of Shudhiram. And we find the same pattern in Sri Ramakrishna. And if we study carefully, we see the same repetition in the life of every saint. So, Shudhiram traditionally was a ritualist. He did rituals throughout his life, in his own life. And his profession was also that of a Purohita, acting as a professional performer of rituals in other people's homes. So, that is he practiced this. What is this practice of external rituals? But we have to understand they have to lead to Shraddha. This is where we find Nachiketa's father, Vajrasravasa, he did not have complete faith. He had a desire to go to heaven, but he did not have sufficient faith in the scriptures. Because the scripture tells us not only what to do, but also what not to do. So the scripture pointed out to him, if you want to go to heaven, you will have to give up all that is earthly. But he was hesitant. But the same Vajrasravasa understood in course of time, and he represents Nachiketa. Advanced Vajrasravasa represents the beginning of Nachiketa, his son. By this time, he obtained everything, Shraddha. And then he wanted not only Swargaloka, he wanted to go beyond Swargaloka, and that is what Shraddha does it. So, if somebody does external physical rituals with complete faith, what does it result in? In truth speaking. Because truth speaking is one of the conditions. We will talk about it as we are analyzing the summaries of every chapter. So, truthfulness, dana, charity, yajna, converting one's life into a sacrifice, swadhyaya, all these things are beautifully outlined. So, rituals done with faith must lead to purification of the mind, and purification of mind gives much more shraddha, allows much more shraddha to seep in. And that same scripture also tells, now you have to do certain things, you have to avoid certain things, vidhi and nishedha. So truthfulness, that is speaking what is truth, that is one of the most important. Satyam vada, dharmam chara, swadhyayan ma pramadaha. We have studied in the first chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Shikshavalli, especially the 11th section of it. So what happens? External rituals lead to truth speaking, and truth speaking further purifies the mind, and truth speaking leads to truth seeking. Inevitably, truth speaking leads to truth seeking. I don't want anything excepting God. And the understanding comes that God cannot be obtained excepting through His own grace. So truth seeking leads to really to God's grace. These are the three steps. And that is what Rama preached. That was what Sri Krishna preached. That was what Jesus Christ preached. Let thy will be done. That is what Muslims always say, that inshallah, let the will of God be done. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna taught, Sharanagati, my children, take refuge in God, in the Divine Mother. Holy Mother said the same thing. Swami Vivekananda had to emphasize that point 4 times in his hymn to Sri Ramakrishna, that hymn which is called Omrimritam. He emphasized 4 times, I know intellectually everything, I want you, but I cannot get you without your grace. Tasmat tvameva sharanam mamadina bandhu. This also happens to be the last verse of teaching by Bhagavan Sri Krishna to Arjuna, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. So, as a result of this sincere performance of rituals, what happened in the life of Kshudiram? He had visions of the very deities he was worshipping. And so exactly Sri Ramakrishna also had the same experiences. As an example, Divine Mother Shitala herself appeared in the form of a small girl, helping Kshudiram, addressing him as Baba, and bending down the branches of the flowering trees so that her worship can be done in an easier manner. And the same Kshudiram, as we know, had a vision of Vishnu at Gaya. And here, God himself begged him, I want to be born as your son. So, the time has come for God to bestow his grace. And his grace comes in the form of stripping everything upon which man or sadhaka depends, so that his mind is divided into two, dependence upon God as well as dependence upon the world. But God made him, he wants to be born. That means what? He wants to bestow his grace. Not only that, he stripped Kshudiram just before the third step, as an indication of his grace, everything that he possessed. God deprived him of all his possessions, making him what? Not a pauper, not a beggar, not a miserable person, but giving him that attitude, rely totally on God. Don't think of anything. Like a child doesn't even think, I have to rely upon mother, I have to rely upon mother. No, it just lives in the present. So, how do we know? Because we all know the incident, a jamindar wanted him to bear false witness. And the moment Kshidiram heard the desire of the Jamindar, that very moment he knew the truth. Truth flashed in him. Time has come for me to leave everything that I called my own until now and move on, totally dependent upon God, wherever He leads me. So, three reactions, unlike us, three spiritual reactions in Kshidiram's life after this Jamindar's incident had come. First of all, he knew that this Jamindar will deprive him of everything. What was the reaction? It is Rama's will. Second, should this Jamindar be cursed? No. That is also, if something happens by Rama's will, if at all we have to curse Rama and not anybody else. Or, in our case, on our prarabdham or the result of our past life. Secondly, what did he do? His reliance upon God had increased so much without knowing where he is going to stay further in his life. He just left with his wife and I think one daughter with the clothes he was putting on, everything, house, and he possessed 33 acres of wetland, quite a considerable wealth. Everything, without thinking twice, I have to leave everything. No regret. Rama knows best. That means a person will be joyful, not saying, oh, Rama made me so sorrowful. All right, what can I do? No. Whatever Rama does, like a child, whatever mother does, is absolutely acceptable. Nothing else is acceptable. And then thirdly, his surrender to God had increased totally and his whole life turned out to be practically the life of a Jivan Mukta. Then how did he pass away? Anta kale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. So remembering Raghuveer on Vijayadashmi day, the last day of the Durga Puja, after all the rituals were over, without giving trouble to anybody, he just half sat, uttered three times, Raghuveer, 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 and he passed away. Where do you think he would go? Not that he has to be reborn in Brahmaloka, or he has to be reborn in the family of a yogis, he had attained mukti. So the life of Kshidiram vividly illustrates how man progresses from rituals to upasana to parabhakti and attains mukti through complete self-surrender to God. And that alone brings God's grace completely. Now, we can turn to the summarization of Chandogya Upanishad, understanding this. Rituals lead to upasana. And these two lead to complete, total change for the better in the life of any sadhaka. And ultimately, as he progresses, he will be given many indications that he is progressing in the right path through visions, vices, future events, etc. Finally, he understands self-effort can take one thus far and no further, and he surrenders himself and puts himself in the hands of the divine. This is the background, this is the light with which we have to understand this summarization. So, the Chandogya Upanishad is an Upanishad that belongs to Chandogya Brahmana of Samaveda of Hinduism. It belongs to Samaveda. It is one of the oldest Upanishads and it lists as number 9 in the Muktika canon of 108 Upanishads. Muktika Upanishad catalogues about 108 Upanishads and most important, and then it places Chandogya Upanishad as the 9th in the list. But its conclusion is marvelous, that it tells one Mandukya Meva Alam. The study of Mandukya Upanishad is more than sufficient. One need not go through any of the other Upanishads. And that holds good, true. whether any of the Upanishads, one Upanishad, because the very word Upanishad means, as we attempt to approach nearer to Atman, and the grace of Atman completely obliterates, destroys all the bondage, ajnana, avidya, and then one attains complete oneness with Atman or Brahman. Why this? What is the meaning of Chandogya? The name of the Upanishad is derived from the word Chandas, which means a Vedic meter is called is Chandogya, poetic Chandas, because it is written in a particular poetical manner. And this Chandogya Upanishad is consisting of 8 chapters, also called Prapathaka. And each Prapathaka has got several sections called Khandas. And every Khanda is a varying number of verses. So the first chapter has 13 sections. The first chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad extols, praises the chanting of Om, which it explains to us is the essence of all. It represents the whole of creation, and how this Omkara represents the whole of creation is beautifully explained by Swami Vivekananda in his Bhakti Yoga, the mantra, the Om section. This Chandogya Upanishad opens with the recommendation that let a sadhaka meditate on Om, and we can also recollect Mandukya Upanishad starts only with that same teaching. And in this Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, this Omkara is also called a loud chant called Udgita. Gita means chanting. Ud means loud. A loud chanting. So, the first chapter tells that teaches us. We are only discussing the essence. Space, Akasha, says the Upanishad, verily, all things here are created out of space, and they are sustained by space, and they disappear back into space, for space alone is the greater than all these, because it is the ultimate cause. Space is the final goal of human life. The term space is a symbol for the Vedic concept of Brahman. Incidentally, the word Nirvana, used by Buddhism, by Buddha, also in Nirvana means or Shunya, complete extinction. What remains is unnamed, ununderstandable, inexpressible, infinite, unoriginated Brahman. Here it is said space, not in the sense of, oh, space is only one of the products of Atman. Atman is the highest. This is for the sake of especially sadhana. So the second, that is the essence of the first chapter. Second chapter, the significance of chant. So the first section of the second chapter states that the reverence for the entire Sama chant is sadhu, and it is abundance of goodness, Saman, and it also means sanmana. So in every way the chanting slowly leads us, like japa. Japa leads to realization. This chanting is also another type of japa. It also leads us to God realization. The Chandogya Upanishad in section 23 of this chapter 2 provides one of the earliest expositions on the broad complex meaning of the Vedic concept of dharma. Because as we do, first rituals is called karmas. Karma, the word karma, can give us two meanings. The ordinary meaning is any action that we do is karma. But in the Vedic terminology, karma means scripture ordained actions only. So many activities. I am lifting my hand, I am walking. All these have to be converted as worship of God. So, yadyat karomi tattadakhilam shambho tava aradhanam. So, this 23rd section says that one must become an embodiment of dharma. Kshudiram was an embodiment of dharma. part of which is satya, dana, yajna and tapas. As an example, once Kridiram wanted to visit his nephew's place. Those days they had to walk. Early morning he started. By noon he reached a small village and it was beginning of the spring season and he found out new bilwa leaves on a tree. It is what is called a deciduous tree which sheds its leaves. But as soon as the right season comes, so new what is called very tender leaves, very beautiful leaves start to be visible to all of us. Kshadiram's heart lifted up. I want to worship Lord Shiva. And then he collected and walked back, worshipped Shiva and sat down for food and questioned by Chandramani Devi. He explained, because I could not have peace of mind without worshipping Lord Shiva. So this walking several miles and again walking back several miles, if that is not tapasya, I don't know what. How much of faith he must have had. What do? We say, anyway, I have to return this way. When I return on my way, I will collect. That doesn't indicate much of a bhakti. Some bhakti, okay. So, what does dharma include? It includes ethical duties, such as charities, dana, swadhyaya, study of the scriptures, hearing of the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures. Even on YouTube we can do it. Brahmacharya, self-control, and do whatever external rituals we have to do. That is the essence of the second chapter. Third chapter wants to extol the sun that we see. As far as we are earthlings are concerned, our Surya Devata is the highest manifestation of Brahman. Because without the sun, there can be no life. So, Brahman is manifesting in the form of the sun. So, this Chandogya Upanishad presents a special type of knowledge called Madhu Vidya, honey knowledge. So, in what does it say? The sun is praised here as a source of all light and life and stated as worthy of meditation in a symbolic representation of the sun as the honey of all Vedas and all life. That is, the Brahman is stated in this section of the verses to be the sun of the universe, and this natural sun is a phenomenal manifestation of Brahman, and just as honey is a favorite to everybody, so honey means sweet. So when I am living, when I am happy, when I am healthy, and when I am acquiring knowledge, everything leads to happiness. Madhu means, first meaning is happiness, second meaning is the whole universe is coming out of the sun and it is sustained by the sun and it goes back to the elements of the sun. So worship this sun, and for that a special mantra is devised. Thousands of years back in the Rig Veda we find which one? Gayatri mantra. That is why every twice born Brahmana, he turns early morning, also at sunset, what is called the Sandhya times, dawn and dusk, towards the rising sun and towards the setting sun, and considering him as the physical, visual, external representation of Brahman, because the whole earth is sustained only because of this sun god. S-U-N, sun. So sun is the symbol of Brahman. It is the essence of everything and every state, whether we are waking, dreaming or having deep sleep state, all are sustained only by this sun. So then Gayatri mantra comes, and then we have also dealt with that. Then the first six verses of the 13th section of Chandogya's third chapter describes Swargaloka. And as we discussed during our talks on the Chandogya, what is the Swargaloka? It is not a geographical location. It is nothing but the same human body which each one of us have. And this human body is like Vaikuntha, and it has many doorkeepers. Who are the doorkeepers of this Swargaloka? Our five sense organs of knowledge, eyes, ear, speech and organs, mind and breath. So to reach Swarga, asserts this text, understand these doorkeepers and then keep them under control. Otherwise, they cannot progress in life. So the doorkeepers means what? We have to be alert where our sense organs are going and we have to keep a watch. They will only go to the right, in the right direction to think, to speak, to do what is right and never to do anything else. So to reach Swarga, so we have to control these, keep these doorkeepers and only then this body becomes, turns itself into a heavenly world. Whether it is physical health, mental health, spiritual progress, everything. So this third chapter states, that light which shines above this heaven, higher than all, higher than everything, in the highest world, beyond which there are no other worlds. This is the same light which is found within the man, in the Harakasha. That is what is expressed by Swami Vivekananda in his Avatara Stotra hymn, Jyoti Rajyoti Ujjvala Hridikandara Tumitama Bhanjanahar. So this premise that the human body is the heavenly world, Swargaloka, Brahmaloka, Evirloka, and Brahman is identical to the Atman which is within every human being is the very foundation of Vedanta philosophy. So in the individual self and the infinite Brahman are exactly the same. One's own self is God, Brahman. And in this chapter also we get Sandilya Vidya. And we have also dealt with it. I am not going to refer to it. You will have to refer your notes or go back to the earlier talks. Now we enter the fourth chapter. And here it is called Samvarga Vidya. This is the story of Janashruti, Janashruti and Raikwa, the enlightened sage. We know, so Janashruti sat happily at the feet of Raikwa and learnt the Samvarga Vidya. What is the Samvarga Vidya? The Samvarga Vidya tells us, teaches us that the cosmic phenomena and the individual physiology are mere mirrors. And therefore, man should know himself as identical with all cosmos and every being. Samvarga means, there it is said as Vayu Devata, everything is coming out of Vayu, sustained by Vayu, and reabsorbed by Vayu. If we can identify with Vayu, and whatever is manifesting out of Vayu, we become identical with that manifestation. Then in this very fourth, we also have seen story of Satyakama. The important point is, he is a real Satyakama. The moment we hear the word Satyakama, we have to deduct that one. He was a seeker of Satya, desirer of only Satya. That is why he did not hesitate to speak the truth about his lineage. And then, whatever the Guru said, that is a commandment, divine commandment. He followed it. And the knowledge which was within, as Swami Vivekananda tells, it became manifest through the, what is called medium of the four fires. By that time, he reached his Guru's place. The Guru respected him as a knower of Brahman. And he confirms that whatever you experienced is nothing but Brahman, you are a knower of Brahman. Then this story of Satyakama is followed by his disciple. So story, a story of Upakosala. Here also exactly Satyakama did not teach because he wanted the truth of his student that should come out through from within himself. So Upakosala also tended the fires and the fires have taught him exactly as they taught Satyakama Jabala, and he also became enlightened. This
in the essence of the fourth chapter. Now we come to the fifth chapter, the noblest and the best. The fifth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad opens with this statement. Yoga vai jyeshtam shreshtancha veda jyeshtascha vai shreshtascha bhavati. When a man knows the best and the greatest, he becomes the best and the greatest. And what is that best and greatest? Tattvamasi, which is going to be explained in the next chapter, sixth chapter. And here also we get this Panchagni Vidya. In this fifth chapter, we get nearly 10 sections, I think. So we get this Panchagni, or six sections. Panchagni Vidya, just we have concluded in our last class, last but one class. So the five fires and two paths theory. So sections 3 to sections 10, that is about 8 chapters, Chandogya Upanishad presents the Panchagni Vidya, the doctrine of the five fires and two paths in the afterlife. What does this Panchagni Vidya tell us? That our life in this universe is a travel, coming and going. And where from we are coming, if we can find out, we can go back and need not come back. That is the essence of the Panchagni Vidya. Its main purpose is to produce what is called Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadamadi Shatka Sampatti, and finally Mumukshutvam, a deep yearning for the realization of Brahma. Then we enter into the sixth chapter. Many people traditionally consider these last three chapters, sixth, seventh and eighth, as the very essence of the essence. Rasasya rasam. So what is it? There was in the form of a story, Shvetaketu and Uddalaka Aruni. So we know the story, I am not going to repeat that in this section. O Shvetaketu, did your teacher teach you Atma Vidya? No, only he put it differently. So what is that which existed at the very beginning? And Shvetaketu was haughty, and through that mention also, it is the Upanishad is teaching us a lesson haughty persons cannot receive. Only when Shvetaketu, we suppose, had become pure and had intense mumukshutvam, then only his father taught him. How do we know? Because his father was a great Brahmagnani, Atmagnani. And an Atmagnani doesn't feel, I am so and so, this is my son, this is my wife, this is my house, these are my family members, absolutely no. So, in this nine times, the Mahavakya, considered one of the most important Mahavakyas of the four, Tattvamasi, Shvetaketu. So, the sixth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad contains the famous Tattvamasi Mahavakya, regarded as the sum total or as one of the most important of all Upanishadic teachings. This Mahavakya is repeated nine times at the end of sections 8th to 16th of the 6th chapter. And it is like this. This universe consists of what that first essence is. It is the only reality. It is the self and that the what? O Shvetaketu. Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. And this is considered as one of the most important these things. Everything has come out of Brahman, everything is sustained by Brahman, and everything goes back to Brahman. And if one knows this truth, and this is called Tatastha Lakshana, certain characteristics to make us understand what is Brahman. So this is not Swarupa Lakshana. Swarupa Lakshana is Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Tatastha Lakshana is the Srishti Sthiti and Laya. So this is beautifully put forward in the third Anuvaka, third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad called Bhrigavalli. Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena bhutani jivante, yat prayantya visam 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 తద్ విజిజ్ఞాసస్వ తద్ బ్రహ్మేతి తపసా బ్రహ్మ విజిజ్ఞాసస్వ సతపోతప్యత సతపస్తప్త్వా అన్నం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ ప్రాణో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ మనో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ విజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ ఆనందం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ క్రాస్డ్ ఈవెన్ దట్ ఫిఫ్త్ కోశ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఆనందమయ కోశ ఐఎమ్ ఆనంద ఇట్సెల్ఫ్. వాట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్? కోశ ఈజ్ వాట్ కంటైన్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్ అండ్ విచ్ కంటైన్స్ ప్రోగ్రెసివ్లీ మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ ఆనంద విషయానంద లిమిటెడ్ ఆనంద. అండ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ దిస్ బ్రహ్మానంద? ఐ మైసెల్ఫ్ ఐఎమ్ ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఆనంద. దట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్. ఐ హ్యావ్ ఆనంద, ఐ ఆమ్ ఆనంద. దట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్. దెన్ వీ కమ్ టు సెవెంత్ చాప్టర్. సో ఫ్రమ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఔటర్ వరల్డ్ టు ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇన్నర్ వరల్డ్, ది సెవెంత్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఛాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ ఓపెన్స్ విత్ ఎ కన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ సనత్ కుమార అండ్ నారద. మెనీ పీపుల్ ఐడెంటిఫై దిస్ సనత్ కుమార, హూ ఈజ్ కన్సిడర్డ్ యాజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫోర్ స్పిరిచువల్లీ బోరన్ సన్స్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మాజీ. అండ్ ఇన్ మహాభారత దర్ ఈస్ ఎ మార్వలస్ సెక్షన్, ఇట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ది ఉద్యోగ పర్వం అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ సనత్ సుజాతీయం. సనత్ కుమార అండ్ సనత్ సుజాతీయ ఆర్ సినానిమస్ నేమ్స్ అండ్ దేర్ హీ టీచర్స్ దిస్ బ్లైండ్ కింగ్ ధృతరాష్ట్ర ది హైయెస్ట్ ట్రూత్ ఇన్ ఎ మోస్ట్ మార్వలస్ లాంగ్వేజ్. సో నారద అప్రోచ్ సనత్ కుమార యాజ్ వీ సా. సనత్ కుమార ఆస్క్ వాట్ బ్రింగ్స్ యూ హియర్? నారద కుమార సేస్ దట్ ఐ వాంట్ టు రియలైజ్ మై ఓన్ సెల్ఫ్, ఆత్మజ్ఞానం. అండ్ వాట్ డిడ్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ సో ఫార్? సో హీ సేస్ ఐ నో ఆల్ ది సెక్యులర్ నాలెడ్జ్, బట్ సెక్యులర్ నాలెడ్జ్ వితౌట్ ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ కెనాట్ బి లీడింగ్ వన్ టు ఆత్మజ్ఞానం. అండ్ హౌ డు ఐ గెట్ దిస్? వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ హౌ డస్ ఇట్ లీడ్ సెక్యులర్ జ్ఞానం? బికాస్ సెక్యులర్ జ్ఞానం, ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సిన్సియర్, షుడ్ లీడ్ అస్ టు ది అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్. బట్ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్ కమింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది టీచర్, త్రూ ది మీడియం ఆఫ్ ది టీచర్ అలోన్ కెన్ అవేకన్ మీ. దట్స్ వాట్ నారద సేస్ క్లియర్లీ. అన్లెస్ దిస్ టీచింగ్ ఈస్ గివెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది టీచింగ్. హీ స్టడీడ్ ఈవెన్ దిస్ చాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ బిఫోర్ కమింగ్ టు సనత్ కుమార, బట్ నవ్ ఐఎమ్ రెడీ. అండ్ సో సనత్ కుమార స్టెప్ బై స్టెప్ త్రూ ఐ థింక్ నియర్లీ 15 స్టెప్స్. సో ఫ్రమ్ ది స్పీచ్ టు ది నామ టు ది మనస్ అండ్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఫైనల్లీ టు ది ఇన్నర్ మోస్ట్ కోర్ విచ్ ఈస్ ది రూట్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విచ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ బ్రహ్మన్. So we know this one. So slowly Sanat Kumara guides him step by step to the highest realization of Brahman. And that should teach us a lesson. You cannot jump from where you are. We can only jump or slowly crawl to the first step, crawl to the second step. This is the only way. And as our intention is sincere, God's grace makes everything clear and guides us to the highest step. So sadhana must involve three faculties. They must be united. And what are they? Thought, speech and actions. That is how Sanat Kumara guided Narada to the highest knowledge. And according to Sri Ramakrishna, his beautiful enumeration of the word satyam, he says, so there must be what is called thought, speech and action. So all the three must be completely harmonized. There cannot be any difference between what we think, what we talk and what we act. That is called guilelessness. And that is the essence of how Sanat Kumara guided Narada to the self-knowledge, Atma-Vidya. Oh Narada, you are that. So when the sixth chapter said Tattva-Masi, we can say, this is how Oshveta-Ketu, instead of Narada, you put Svetaketu instead of his father. Here it is Sanat Kumara. So, theory is fine, but practice is unavoidable. This is how you will progress. So, this eighth, what is called seventh chapter, is Samvada through dialogue, how to do sadhana step by step, and we also have to follow it. Now, we come to the last chapter, eighth chapter. So, what is the nature of Atman, Brahman, really speaking? So, this is there, here, the finest analysis of the three states of waking, dream and deep sleep, and just like Mandukya Upanishad. Whatever has been, whatever will be, whatever is, and whatever is not, is all inside that place, tells this eighth chapter. That place is called Brahman, Brahmapuri, Dahara Akasha, Atman. So the Upanishad states that the life of a student must be guided by a teacher. Without a teacher, or what we call a guru, it is impossible to reach. A guru is a manifestation of God's grace. That is how we have to understand. This is the only means to knowledge for reaching Atman. So, such a life of a student must be first led for purification of the mind. So, the sadhaka must purify himself. First of all, he must do yajna, fire ritual. Then, he must offer to his chosen deity Ishtam, oblations to be offered during this fire ritual. Then, satrayana. So, a community worship also should be done. That means, Ishtapurtam must be done. Then, maunam. Maunam means quelling all the unspiritual thoughts, allowing only spiritual thoughts. That is the real maunam. Otherwise, close your mouth and go on thinking all rubbish inside. Then, anashakayanam. That is fasting. Now and then we have to pass like Ekadashi Vrata, etc. And Aranyanam, a hermit's life, solitude, which Sri Ramakrishna beautifully puts, Maje Maje Nirjanasthane Jabe. So this section states all external forms of rituals are equivalently achievable internally when someone becomes a student of the sacred knowledge and seeks to know the Brahma. So, in order to understand this, Prajapati accepted both Indra and Virochana, asks them first to do 32 years of all this life consisting of this Satrayanam, Maunam, Anayaskayanam, and Aranyanam, etc., etc. And then, when they come, he teaches the truth about Jagradavastha. Then, Virochana leaves at that stage, unable to understand. But Indra, while going back, he reflects and then he comes back and he tells, I have a doubt. Then another 32 years. Then he teaches that your experience of dream state is also completely unreal. It is not Brahman. Then again Indra comes. Another 32 years. Then Prajapati teaches him that when you are in deep sleep, that is also a limited state. That is also a state of experience. And all states of experience is not Brahman. Only to be oneself is Brahman. So Indra was asked to live another 5 years. And then he says, he who is not either the waking dream or dreamless, but without whom these three cannot function, that fourth, conventionally spoken as Turiya, that one, who is free of all these three states, that is called Brahman. And Indra became a realized soul, he became a Brahmagnani, and that's why we have to worship this Upanishadic Indra, not the Puranic Indra. This is the summary of Chandogya Upanishad, and for details, you will have to go to through the past classes. Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Prana Chakshu Shrotram Atho Balam Indriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakarnamastu अनिराकरणम्ये अस्तु तदात्मने निरते यौपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम ओम। मेमे लिम्स स्पीच वाइटल फोर्स आईज ईयर्स इज आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल द ऑर्गन्स बिकम स्ट्रांग हेल्दी। Everything is the Brahman as revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman also deny me? Let there be no rejection of me by Brahman. Let there also be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are enumerated in the Upanishads repose in me. I am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. ओम जननीम शारदाम देवीम रामकृष्णम जगद्गुरुम पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहु। मे श्री रामकृष्ण होली मदर एंड स्वामी विवेकानंद ब्लेस अस ऑल विद भक्ति। हे रामकृष्ण। एंड आई एम थिंकिंग ऑफ टेकिंग सम इम्पोर्टेंट पोर्शंस ऑफ द बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद फ्रॉम अवर नेक्स्ट क्लास ऑनवर्ड्स।